Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Welcome to another episode of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. I am your host, T-Bone, and of course, I'm always joined by Meredith. Meredith, how are you doing?
Good.
You tricked me this morning.
I did?
Yeah, we went for a four-mile walk.
Oh, we did, yeah.
To see a waterfall. Oh,
which was a creek in a neighborhood.
It was like the waterfall off of my pool in the backyard.
No, that's nicer.
I mean, are you kidding me?
So we added an extra mile, and It was a trick. But you didn't complain until we were almost home.
I was complaining. You just didn't hear me.
Trust me. Of his wife's team members pulled up. He was probably like 30 feet behind us, and she said, shh, get in, trying to sneak him away. Did you call her?
No, she was coming over to pick up her dog.
Yeah.
So anyway, listen, I think, as we all know, we've got unprecedented times. I'm tired of hearing the word unprecedented, but we got a lot going on. And one of the things that we need to focus on right now, because we are truly closer to being back at work than we aren't. Okay, so I think we're through the shock of what's happened, through a lot of the anxiety of what's happened, and we're a few weeks, one, two, three, four, depending on where you're at in the country, from being open. And I've been watching social media, it's unbelievable how overly complicated we make everything and how we jump to crazy conclusions. So I wanted to spend this episode talking about getting ready and dealing with reopening our practices. And to make it easier, you know, I like to kind of break everything down into little components. And I've broken this down into three components of how I want to talk about it. One is the PPP, because it plays a big role in how we do this. I don't think it should be playing such a big role, but we'll get into that. It plays a role in how we do this and what we do. The second part of it is going to be the mindset of our team, the dentist, the hygienist, the assistant, the front office, all of that. And then the third part of it is the business side of things, okay? In other words, the business part of reopening and patients and procedures and all of that. And, you know, I just want to have an open, honest conversation to try to give you guys some, hopefully some clarity on what we're doing, how we're digesting everything. But before we get into that, let's get our weekly update from Meredith about where we stand with things at 3D Dentists.
Yeah, so I have quite a few things for this week. Our in-person courses are on hold, but we do look forward to having everybody back in Raleigh. I think we really miss having everyone here.
We got
a little spoiled by that, everyone coming to us. But we are online. Dr. Aaron Elliott's Sleep Implementation S1 will be live streamed this weekend. You are still able to sign up for that. It's actually could be a lot of fun, a good way to get the team back together and get them learning. Use this time to implement sleep into your office.
Well, it's a great value too.
Yeah.
Because for $14.95, they have access to the course.
Yep.
Okay, it's live. It's not an online course. It is live via online. Mm-hmm. Aaron will be here in Raleigh, and we're going to be doing it together.
And you can ask questions.
So ask questions.
Questions will be answered.
Absolutely.
It's like you're really here.
And then the other nice thing about it is for that one fee, you can train your entire team.
Right.
And the other beauty of it is that you get 6 months of access to the recording.
That's coming.
But you get 6 months of access to the recording of the live seminar. And then you'll also get our online course, which is only about a month from being done.
Yeah.
So you'll get that. So it's an unbelievable value for those that want to go ahead and get involved in that.
It is. And again, you can sign up for that again at www.3d-dentist.com.
Or they can contact you at Meredith at
3d-dentist.com. Yep. And our medical billing course is also available as an online course. And Sleep One will be available as an online course coming this summer. We do have our 3D Dentist webinars still going on. Those are on Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can register for those at www.3d-dentist.com/webinars. You can also replay past episodes if you have missed those at www.3d-dentist.com/growth. And last but not least, join our new Facebook community, Dental Business and Clinical Excellence. We'd love to have you all there, whether you've taken a course or you plan to take a course. You can still become part of our 3D group. And then lastly, if you have any questions, head over to www.asktbone.com and we'll get those answered for you. So I think we should get into today's episode.
Yeah, you know, I do want to talk about the Facebook group a little bit.
Okay.
I've resisted doing it, but groups have become like communist parties these days. You can't say anything or provide. I've got one guy that every time I would post a video, like literally providing information, they would say I'm trying to commercialize their group. So I just finally stopped going. So I think the easiest way to deal with it is to have our own group where we can put like-minded individuals together. And look, I would love for it to be larger, sure. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, I'm interested in the quality of the people. You know, we're at 600 great people now. We're restarting and getting the activity going. So I'd love for people to come in and just read and ask questions. Mm-hmm. Just come in and introduce yourself. It'll be pretty awesome. So that's enough about the Facebook group. So that's it.
All right. Well, as we're preparing to reopen, we have a few things we wanted to talk about today with everyone. And I think we wanted to begin with probably the most commonly asked thing is the PPP.
Yeah. I want to walk around and go, the PPP, you know me. I don't know if you know that song, Meredith, or not.
I do, and of course you want to become a DJ in your next life.
Oh, so. I didn't play any music today, right? Oh my God, the PPP. It is a curse and a blessing, and I don't understand dentists. Quite frankly, I think it's all business people. We take something and we overanalyze it, and to a certain degree, I get it. Listen, we got nothing else to do right now, and frankly speaking, none of us know the answers, and frankly speaking, the people that made the damn law don't know the answers either. So the PPP will affect kind of how we do our business moving forward. Okay, so let's talk about it. I actually produced a great video that's on our YouTube channel that you can watch. And it's also in our Facebook group, Dental Business and Clinical Excellence, where you can watch where I kind of simplify the PPP, go through some of the basic facts. Now, there are things you can do that are questionable, morally acceptable or not. You know, things like suddenly putting your kids on payroll and using that. And, you know, look, I don't want to get into some of those things because I think that pushes the envelope and pushes the limit, and I'm not really that type of person. But I do want to talk about some important parts of the PPP and some other things related to. I think the biggest thing, Meredith, is probably competing with unemployment.
Yep, that was what I was going to say, too.
Yeah, we get a lot of people asking about that. What's your thoughts on competing with unemployment? Because you're not unemployed. I think, you know, you could in a theory, you could make slightly less than you make right. now and do nothing.
And sit at home.
Right.
I'm not one to sit at home. I think you know yeah. that. I don't think I could. I think most of our team, they're ready to get back to work. Yeah. I think most team members, except for the ones who have concerns, are sure. ready to get back to work, or they may not be a right fit.
Well, I think maybe I can understand if you have team members that make a little.
Right.
Okay. So, like, if you're a business,
a sterilization tech, maybe.
Well, if you're a business that's built around people that are making minimum wage to $10 right. an hour, I can understand how this is a big problem.
Right.
Now, in the Raleigh market, maybe this is different from all over the, you know, around the country, yeah. but in most markets, dental team members make in that $14 to $20, $22 an hour ballpark, and maybe a little bit more. And so, you know, unemployment is pretty equivalent to what they're making. And the risk, I think, and what we have to really talk to team members about is the risk of allowing team members to stay on unemployment is that we have to replace our team members. So they risk not having their job when they come back. And I think it's important to have a honest, empathetic discussion with team members. Meredith, you witnessed one of those conversations yesterday or the day yeah. before with one of my hygienists.
Right.
And you made a comment without me asking that was probably a very good conversation to have.
Yeah.
Talk
and
to
I
me
think
about that.
It was good because it was one-on-one. Mm-hmm. She was asking questions. You were asking questions. You asked her how she felt about coming back to work. She asked you who, if we went in phases, how would that work?
Right.
By seniority, you know, by whose patients it is, that kind of thing. So I think it really cleared a lot of things up.
Yeah. And I think selfishly,
I think communication, and it made you feel good, I think, because she was like, you know, you said, I see a lot of hygienists are not wanting to come back right now. You know, where are your concerns? And before she even had concerns, what did she say? You'd never hear me say that.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think it's also good for me too, because some of these fears are our own fears.
Right.
Like, I fear that my team members don't want to come back. But when you kind of broach that subject, and before you even finish, like, oh, no, I'm ready to come
yeah.
back, it makes you more confident that, like, this is a person I can
yeah.
count on.
Right.
Okay, this person is ready to come back and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, think about the hours we spend at the office, right?
Yeah.
That's like our second home.
It's probably right now they want it to be the first home.
Right. And, like, our office is still open because your wife is a psychiatrist, so the yeah. doors are unlocked. It's still there. A few days a week, people are in there checking, you know, keeping the business running, right?
That's correct.
So some of the other team members have just shown up.
Right.
Just stopped by.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's what you're used to going every day, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, even some days we just go in. Right?
Well, it's the culture we want to create.
Right.
Right, the culture we want to create. You know, the other thing is this PPP kind of brings in another aspect, and I want to address this. You don't have to use all of your PPP money, okay? You don't, okay? Here's what I love about the PPP is it's a great stimulus to help us go get through the next 8 weeks as we open up. And for some of us, we'll get to utilize 8 weeks of that money, 7 weeks of that money as opening. For some of us, it'll probably be 3 or 4 weeks. But it's all a blessing. It's all more than we expected when we got started, and we have to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other aspect of it, the thing I don't like about the PPP is that it's created this mindset like we have to spend money. Or we have to use it only for one thing. And that simply is not the case. You know, my video covers this pretty well. Listen, the minimum you can spend on payroll is 75%, okay? You can spend less, but for forgiveness, you need to get 75% in there. You can spend more and have it forgiven, by the way. You can utilize vast majority of it on payroll and have it forgiven. The maximum you can spend on non-payroll expenses is 25% and earn up to that amount for forgiveness. But listen, if you take $100,000 in PPP money and you only spend $50,000 of it, then that's what will be forgiven. And then the other $50,000, you can use that same money to pay it back. So I want us to change our mindset around PPP, not as we've got to spend it, but continue to make sound business decisions and use economic and business reasoning in how we utilize a PPP. Pretend it's your money.
Like because, your savings.
Because, but well, yeah, absolutely. But here's the truth. It is. Because I'm not guaranteed it's going to be forgiven. Right. So I want to spend that money as if it's my own money. Mm-hmm. And I want you listening to spend the money as if it's your own money. And so don't frivolously give it away. But certainly I want you to be smart and ethical about how we use it. You know, so stop reading all the craziness on Facebook. Go to treasury.gov. They have some phenomenal resources there that answer these questions. They in relatively plain English, spell it all out. And if you don't know, talk to your financial advisor, your CPA. And if that person doesn't know, quite frankly, they don't know any more than you do, quite frankly. They're all interpreting the rules. If it's questionable, don't spend it. Just don't. It's okay. You know, I don't want people to waste this money and then come out with having to pay it back. And then now we're in deeper trouble than when we started, okay? Mm-hmm. So I do want us to understand that the PPP plays a role, okay? And we'll get into it and the business side of things. How, you know, I've come up with two business plans. One is with PPP, how I'm going to bring that in. And then the offices without PPP, how I would recommend getting your business started. So, you know, let's deal with what's morally acceptable. At the end of the day, competing with unemployment, let me answer that one real quick. Don't compete. It's the bottom line. Give your team members a choice. You know, the choice is, Meredith, I totally respect if you don't want to come to work. Just do understand that I'm going to have to find a replacement because if I've taken the PPP, I need to maintain a headcount. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that means I'm going to have to find somebody else, and unfortunately, your job may not be here. Mm-hmm. Okay? And just kind of approach it that way and have a conversation. And Meredith may come back to me and say, well, I just, you know, I want a couple extra weeks and I'm okay with that. No mm-hmm. problem.
Yeah.
Okay. No problem. I'm more than happy to give you some time. I respect your position that you're a little bit scared. I respect the position that you have kids at home and that they really can't go to their parents or grandparents' house.
Right.
So I want to work around that. I respect that as well. So, you know, I just want to kind of have a conversation. I think just having a conversation with team members, communicating with them pretty regularly is really what's important there.
Which is what we said from the beginning, even before the PPP was a thing.
Yeah, just always
just communicate. To stay in contact, too.
Yeah, it really works.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Okay, well, I think we've wrapped up most of the questions people have about the PPP. And so the next thing would be the mindset of getting into preparing to reopen our offices or businesses. And I think the main thing of that is the common fears of team members and being worried about coming back to work or children at home.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say the big thing would be getting out of your routine, right? Yeah. We've made a routine. We've got to get back to our normalcy of a full day, a little bit of chaos.
Yeah. We're. So I think we've become maybe a little bit lazy.
A little bit.
Okay. And that's to no fault of anybody's. Right. Okay. Right. It's natural. I've become mm-hmm. lazy. You know, I'm not like I'm saying you guys have become lazy and I haven't. I'm just, I take an afternoon nap again.
Yeah.
So,
the girls were asking me when they could schedule you to see an emergency patient here or there. And I said, well, he's got a call here. You know, he's got to have time for this. We have to record this. And I was like, 2 o'clock meeting, 3 o'clock nap.
Yeah,
they were
exactly.
Like, wait, what? I was like, he can be available by like 4:30.
Yeah, exactly. And that's questionable.
Yeah.
Because my naps have been going a little bit longer.
Because he plays nap roulette. He doesn't set an alarm.
So, we've got to start, again, I'm going to harp on the same thing. We've got to get back to communicating with our people and get them. You know, the last thing you can do, I think the biggest mistake you can make is to tell people, hey, we're starting this date.
Yeah.
And not, there's no notice, there's no nothing. You know, to a certain degree, you've got to fake a democracy here mm-hmm. a little bit. You know, I know what I want to do.
Right.
But, and I may have in my mind that I'm going to do this, but what I want to do is kind of make it seem like it's everybody's choice.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
and And so, you know, I think that's that communication, that open line of communication. And I think really they're probably, look, what are the, and then part of it's also understanding what are the concerns your team members have. Some concerns. One is money. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, I've got this. I'm getting paid. I don't want to come back and then get laid off again and right. then have to go through this whole unemployment thing again because that's not easy.
Right.
Okay. Everybody, it's backed up, right? So that's a concern. So you need to address that concern. Another concern is childcare. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have an office with a lot of team members who have children, then you need to deal with childcare and have that conversation. You know, some people are like, I've got childcare taken care of. It's ready to come back to work. Or some people are like, listen, if somebody else can come in instead, mm-hmm. I need to work on the child.
If you were moving it, starting in shifts.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think the other aspect of it, a very big aspect of it is the safety, the general safety. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look, I think it's a little bit overblown. And here's why I say that. And I am not one to make light of this virus and this disease. It is a deadly virus and disease. It has a high, for people with underlying conditions and older people, it's really a big deal. So I'm not trying to minimize that. But at the same time, we don't see a high volume of dentists or hygienists or assistants with this issue.
Right.
You know, it's not like we're reading about, oh my God, 50% every of dentists or every day. Yeah. And so we've been, and the more and more we read about this, the virus has been here longer than we realized.
Yeah.
So we've been, so let's just say the virus has been in our country and in our community since February 1st. Mm-hmm. And we didn't shut down until middle of March.
Right.
So for 6 weeks, it was business as usual.
Right.
And we were exposing ourselves and our patients to this stuff, mainly ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we're not seeing that dentist or dentistry is at a higher level of this disease or condition than anybody else.
Right.
So I think we're overblowing it a little bit. I think my perspective on the safety issue is we need to make some minor changes to placate our team members, mm-hmm. so to get their mindset ready, and to also visually look outside that we're doing something for our patients so that they can feel safe to come in.
Yeah.
So, what are we going to do?
Right.
You know, so I think we're going to go level 3 masks.
Which we've
been using.
Right. So that's what I was going to say is, for example, Jesse, your hygienist, you said, what do you expect?
Right.
I
just asked her.
What do you expect? The girl's gone and bought her own face shield and sent us selfies in it. So she said, you know, I'm fine. She said, I think I'll wear a gown. Mm-hmm. You guys have already been wearing jackets.
That's correct.
So most of we're cold natured, most of us. So the assistants have been wearing those for years. Everyone has. So she said, I don't really think we need to do much change. I think we had talked about changing our shoes, changing our clothes, which we had started to do pretty recently at the office. But I mean, she said, I might try to wear my face shield, but she said, I might get hot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think everyone felt pretty comfortable. But again, our level of what's normal and what we've been doing is different from what other people have been doing.
But I don't believe that. I really don't believe that.
What I've seen in some of these groups, people are like, I will not go back to work without a level 3 face mask.
No, I get that. But what I'm saying
is, that's normal to us.
Right. So, but what I'm saying is, I think most of us, most offices, certainly our podcast listeners, to you listening right now, I am confident that your practice practices good common sense universal precautions.
Right.
Okay, so I always come back to that. When I'm unsure about what somebody else wants, the easiest thing to do is ask.
Right.
You know, I didn't say, "Hey, Jesse, here's what we're going to do." I started the conversation by,
"What would make you comfortable?"
Yeah. What are you looking for?
Right.
And nothing she said was outrageous.
No.
She was basically like, so what I heard from her is I want a face shield. Mm-hmm. So I ordered face shields.
She had already bought
them. I get it.
Right.
But what that told me is that's important to her.
Right.
Okay.
And so it will probably be important to your other two hygienists.
Right. And our assistants too.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So I called Chuck and I said, hey, Chuck, I want face shields mm-hmm. for every team member.
Okay.
Okay. So that's what I want.
Yeah.
Okay. What other thing I heard from her is that she's going to wear the jacket, which, by the way, we have in the office anyway. Right. They've just sometimes chosen not to wear them.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to implement and hold accountable our jackets.
Yeah.
You know, I know I've been doing that.
Yeah.
But I'll make sure that everybody's doing that. The other thing that they mentioned was they're comfortable with the masks that we've been using. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is great news.
Yeah.
I think we're going to add the little printed customizer from Bellis 3D.
Yeah.
So for those of you that are listening, if you'd like to make your mask a little bit better fitting, Bellis 3D, Bellus 3D makes a free, I believe it's an iPhone app, where you can scan your face in 3D and then it makes this little ring around your face that custom fits your face, and you can have it printed or print it yourself, and then you can put that over your mask, and it really kind of converts a level 3 mask into a much better sealed mask. So so we're going to implement that. And then something that we had done like the first week that we had to kind of slow transition out of patients was we were changing clothes at the office. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make it mandatory that we show up in street clothes, we have shoes and scrubs at the office, mm-hmm. and that we change out of our shoes and scrubs, leave them at the office, and then go home in our normal clothes.
Yes.
So that we don't take anything from the office home. And I'm pretty confident that from a team safety perspective, I think that'll minimize our issues. I can't say eliminate, because we don't know, but I'm pretty confident that that'll, you know, minimize any issues. And then on the patient safety side, I think we're going to implement the temperature scanning, which, by the way, is more and more what we're reading is a significant percentage of the patients that end up in the hospital never showed signs of fever.
Right.
Okay, so I think the fever checking is probably not as good as
we hoped,
right. But it makes people feel comfortable, so we're going to do it. And then we're going to certainly minimize no ancillary people in the office. So in other words, Meredith, you can't come with your 800 friends to come to to your appointment. So we're going to minimize that, and we're going to follow common sense, and we're going to go from there. And I think, generally speaking, that's going to take care of what we're doing. I don't know. Have you seen this thing on Facebook where people look like they're wearing hazmat suits?
Oh, they look like they could go to space.
Right.
Where are you going? Outer space in that?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Well, I think all of that stuff is unreasonable.
Right.
Okay. And until we see that it's necessary, I just don't intend. I can't.
Yeah.
I've seen people put in HEPA filters. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe. But I don't want to take on an expense for something that I'm... maybe I'll put one in the waiting room.
Right.
Okay. Because I don't know about you guys, but we spray our room down in between patients.
Right.
So we're already, that's proven to kill bugs.
Kill anything that's in there.
Yeah. So, so that takes care of that. So I don't necessarily see the need for these HEPA filters all throughout the office. Maybe in the common areas where we're not spraying down every, every hour, essentially. So maybe there. And then the other thing I've seen, have you seen all these little suction things?
I've seen all kinds of gizmos and gadgets. People, some of them aren't even available, I don't think, in the United States.
I've seen people take like those PVC pipings and make like a covering for the, like a coffin almost.
Oh, that like the patient's in, and it's like only your hands can go in there.
Only hands go in there. So look, I think there's a lot of funniness to all of that stuff. But look, you don't need to do that. Okay, I would tell you that
a little overkill.
It's let's just kind of see what the hell happens, right? Here's what I will say on this, and I want to give a pat myself on the back here. Since 2002, we've been using the Isolite in our practice, and I'm a firm believer that we will continue to use the Isolite. It reduces, not eliminates, but it significantly reduces the aerosols produced, and then we're going to introduce a thing called the pink petal. I believe Zerk makes that, and so we're going to use the pink petal with our hygienist, and it fits onto the low suction, and it goes on the cheek, so that, you know, affordable, it again helps to reduce aerosols and helps to suction up all the stuff with hygienist. Probably, quite frankly, we should have been using it just from a convenience perspective. Right. For some period of time anyway. So I think that's kind of the general safety things that we're going to implement in our practice. And then we'll go from there. You know, I'm not going to do disposable gowns. Right. I think that our stuff will work. And we're going to kind of go and see from there. And ultimately, and this kind of leads us into the next thing, is ultimately our patients are going to decide what we do.
Right. I was going to say, so we've taken care of the safety for our team members, for our patients. So really what gets back to how many team members are on board is how many patients we have.
Yeah. So I think the last thing, the last area that I want to focus on is the business of reopening. And I think part of us has to have a, regardless of the PPP, we have to have a startup mentality. So I go back to when I started up. When I started up my practice, I didn't have a whole crew of people. You know, listen, the ultimate decider in how busy we're going to be and how many team members we need is our patients, okay? And the easiest way to do that is to pick up the phone, call your patients, and say, we have you scheduled on May the 15th for your cleaning. We wanted to find out if you intend to come to your appointment, if you feel comfortable coming. Let me tell you what we're doing on our end to make you comfortable. And then let the patient choose. And if you see that a significant portion of your patients plan on coming back, then that'll answer how many people you need to have. So the business part of this is a couple of weeks in advance, set a start date. Okay, so the first thing I'll tell you is we've set a start date of May the 11th. In our office. Mm-hmm. I need to talk to our team about this. But I'll talk to them before this goes out. But I've set a start date of May the 11th. So that means starting next week, we're going to start calling patients for May the 11th and start taking a general survey of where our patients are at. And the patients that aren't comfortable, we are absolutely okay with that. And then what we'll do is we'll start moving back from May the 15th and start moving through those patients and see how many want to come in. And if we see that we're seeing more and more patients that don't want to come in, then we will know that we don't need all of our team members from a patient perspective.
Yeah, and that's kind of how our governor at least has done it, is in phases.
Right.
So we have a phase one, 2 weeks, phase two. And so depending on the amount of patients that are ready, hopefully the phases will phase out quicker.
Absolutely.
And accelerate it a little bit.
And look, at the end of the day, if you don't use your PPE, you don't use your
PPP.
That's what I mean. If you don't use your free money, okay, you don't use your free money. Just pay it back. Okay. Right. And just take the forgiveness that we get. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's why I'm a believer in bringing people back the way we should bring them back.
Right. Okay? Like this wasn't ever there.
Yeah. As if this money wasn't there. How would you bring people back? And so be smart. You know, use the PPP as a cushion, but it's not guaranteed that they're going to forgive it. Look, they're going to forgive it.
Right.
Okay. But don't do stupid things with it. So, you know, I think those are the important parts. Are the patients going to come in, and how long until our schedules are full? You know, look, I don't have a magic wand. I can't tell you all of these things, but my guess is this, okay? I'm going to bet that it's going to be 2 to 3 months minimum before we see our offices somewhat return to normal, okay, with patients going over this. And that's assuming that we don't have spikes, that we don't have asking to drink bleach, crazy things like that. I think I'll give the example. We had several of our orthodontic patients that said they were unhappy about us postponing them when we first mm-hmm. started, within the first couple of weeks, when, you know, if we wanted to, we could see patients, but we were pretty front end on cutting our patients down. But then we reached out to some of those patients because I'm starting to get a little bit more lax, and I've, you know, at this point, people that have it will show the symptoms.
We're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. So I'm kind of trying to bring some people in, and, you know, I don't want their cases to go awry. And it was amazing. We called 15 patients, and only two were okay with coming in and wanted to, you know, continue to move forward with their orthodontic therapy and, you know, continue to change trays and stuff. The rest of them said, I'm afraid. I don't want to come in. And so I get it, okay? And maybe some of that mentality and mindset's going to change as your governors open up your states and eliminate the stay-at-home order or reduce it. So ultimately, our patients are going to be the decider. I want to stress this because this is important. I want you to be fair, upfront, and honest to your team members. I think the worst thing you can do is bring people back because of the PPP and then let them go or furlough or lay them off 2 to 3 weeks later. Because going back through and getting on unemployment is not easy. So have that conversation. Which team members are ready to come back and chomping at the bit? Bring them back. The other ones, have that conversation. You know, I think it's just about being very transparent and open with your team. And quite frankly, be loyal to them too. If they're not ready to come back, start with what you can. Just let's say plain and simple. Because I think we're overestimating how many patients want to come back and start having dentistry done. They'll say they want to, but I think when push comes to shove, they're going to have some hesitations. And quite frankly, these things can change overnight with one news conference, with one news report, with any of these things. So I want us to be prepared and ready for the different challenges. So if you have PPP, you can be a little bit more judicious in how many people you bring back. Be very upfront with them that my PPP, I have 3 weeks of working PPP with them, so we can use it or not use it to take the risk. Or if you don't have PPP, just be, it's your money. Spend it wisely and calmly and with good business and economic sense. And I think that'll take care of so much of this for each other. Meredith, anything else?
No, I think that sounds good. It looks like a lot of people, their teams are ready to get going. And I think that's
we're ready
good.
To get
yeah.
going. I mean,
for
I'm,
sure. Yeah.
I'm dying to get going. You know, I want 3D to start working. I'm mm-hmm. ready to start. You know, I thought I didn't want to see a lot of patients. I thought like, oh, maybe I don't want to work as hard. But then I went in yesterday and I had
interaction. It's nice to be back, right?
I had some interaction with, saw some emergencies. I had some interaction with team members, some patients.
And you're like, oh, I'm really good at this.
Yeah, not even that. It's just more that I'm like, God.
It's what you do. Right.
Like I want to talk to somebody other than you and my wife.
I'm like, are you sick? Every day I'm like, are you sick of me yet? Are you sick of me yet?
Not yet. So listen, do me a favor, as always. Thank you for listening to the end of the podcast. It means that I appreciate you more than you know. Please leave some questions. Leave us a review. Join our Facebook community. It's an important thing for me. And to come and support us and help spread our message. We want to help dentistry. We want to focus on all the good that we can do. And I'm a firm believer. I believed it before, but I believe it even more than ever. What we teach at 3D Dentists helps practices live through this and thrive through these kind of things. And I want to help as many of you as we can. And we'll see you on next week's episode.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.